Yo, yo, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. It is a Tuesday. We are inching closer and closer to the NFL draft. We are 9 days away. Let's go. I want it to be Thursday of next week. I want to see what happens here in the first round of this NFL draft. I want to see where Shedeur Sanders goes. I want to see where Travis Hunter goes. I want to see where Abdul Carter goes. I want to see where Alligator Arms Will Campbell goes. I want to see where Ashton Jeanty and Tyler Warren do go. I'm fascinated. I got a lot of questions. And also, I say that jokingly about Will Campbell because I've actually been defending Will Campbell. I think the short arms nonsense is just absolutely ridiculous.
He's going to be your left tackle.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I have no problem with that. If Will Campbell's my left tackle, I'm good. I would just rather have the preference be Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. That would be my Abdul 1, Travis Hunter 2. If not, then I'm good with taking an offensive lineman with the fourth overall pick. We got to protect Drake May. There's no doubt about that. So I have other preferences, but he's still a top three preference for me in Will Campbell. I may actually donate him an inch or two from my arms so he can then become a franchise left tackle. That is what I would do. I would have surgery done, chop off an inch or two of my arms, and then send them to Will Campbell, have him go under the knife, and then he gets an extra inch or two when it comes to the arm department there.
While you're at it, can you chop off some of your legs and donate them to me?
Yeah, I'll also just give you 30 pounds. Is that good? I'll give you some height, but I'll also give you some more weight.
Yeah, like in the arm area, maybe, like in like the bicep area.
Wherever you want. You want it in the biceps, you want it in the legs. You know, maybe your cheeks a little bit too for Samter. You know,
oh, the other cheeks,
baby cheeks, not your behind.
Oh, so these
Come
cheeks
on,
are,
yes.
are those cheeks.
You look like a chipmunk. Well, make it you look like a chipmunk there. That's what we'll end up having you there with Samter. But anyway, we are 9 days away from the NFL draft, so let's do a little overreaction, proper reaction, NFL draft style. Stu, take it away.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team.
Help! Help! Help!
Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
By the way, I wasn't looking at Samter while we were talking there because he was doing this T-Rex thing. I didn't know the camera was on you. So I got that delayed on my feed, and then I see Samter with the little T-Rex arms. You're a good T-Rex. When your daughter, when she turns 3, right? She's 2 already. When she turns 3, you could do a little T-Rex dress up. You know, that's a cheap option there for a birthday party. What'd you do for the second? Did you do a second birthday party or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually were down in Florida and my parents were there. Her parents were down there and we had a big birthday party. We went to the zoo. She got to see her first tiger.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of cool.
She gonna be the tiger queen now? Remember Joe Exotic? Remember that during the pandemic? Tiger King?
Yeah. Thank you.
Were you big into Tiger King?
I was huge into it, but I don't want her to be anywhere near that world.
So she won't be the next Carol Baskin? Is what you're saying. I remember I refused. That was my shtick on the air during COVID. I said, I will not watch it. Everyone's hyping this up. It's probably stupid. And then I eventually just bended the knee, genuflected, and said, okay, I'm going to watch it. And then I became really into it. And we ended up having one of the experts that lived with Joe Exotic. He was doing a podcast on, and he emailed my producer at the time, Mike Biseglia, and he goes, that was the most extensive, comprehensive, like thought-provoking interview I've ever done, because I was grilling him as if it was like an executive that we didn't like, or if it was a player that said something controversial. I was grilling this guy. I was like, do you think Carol Baskin killed her husband? And it was really good stuff. So I enjoyed that whole documentary.
That's all we had. We had that in The Last Dance. That's what we had for a few months there.
Yeah, that's right. And then also a bunch of food topics too.
Yes.
I remember I was living home with my parents for about 4 or 5 months at the beginning of COVID before I said, I'm just going back to my apartment in New York City. And I would have my dad make me food during the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time shift, and we would just sample his food on the air. Like, made wings one night, meatballs another night. You know, so those are actually surprisingly fun days. And then Friday nights is when I would turn up a little bit. So the show would end at 10. I don't know if you guys did this with your friends. Would you jump on Zoom and just talk with your friends and basically just have, like, parties with your friends?
Yes.
We did poker tournaments. Like, me and, like, six or seven of my buddies would do online poker. Like, we would, like, join a table together and
there was
poker.
Also so many games that I didn't know existed that I found out existed during COVID. So I may or may not – should I say this? Yeah, I'll say it, whatever. I may or may not, in the last half hour of the show, would take something that would maybe then kick in about 30 to 40 minutes later. So when I was off the air, I was feeling – nice and chill. That's how I would say it. That's what I ended up doing a few times.
I'm going to go back and listen to those shows to see maybe you took one a little early.
No. I would always wait till after the update. After the update. And you know me, I'm never on time with the update, so.
But you never know. Sometimes it says 30-minute kick-in. Sometimes it kicks in faster than you think.
Yeah, that's a possibility. So maybe like the last like 30 seconds of the show. Bro, feeling nicey. Sound like John Gruden there for a second. Anyway, overreaction, proper reaction time. Stu, what do we got cooking here?
All right, so
Stu's like, yeah, I did all that during COVID, except I was here running the board.
Did all that during COVID. You're doing it right now. What do you think he's doing?
All right, anyways, the Steelers are somehow still waiting on word from Aaron Rodgers.
Stu, walk in a straight line. Let's see it right now. Why are your eyes so red? All right, continue. Go ahead.
So the Steelers are somehow still waiting on word from Rodgers with the draft just over a week away. Many have pegged the Steelers as a potential landing spot for Shador or Jackson Dart at 21, or potentially taking a quarterback in the second or third round. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Steelers must move on from Rodgers if he doesn't give them an answer by draft day.
That's an overreaction, because what happens if they don't get a quarterback in the draft that they feel like could start this year? What are you going to do, start Mason Rudolph? I don't really think the Steelers have much leverage here. Like, they know they can get Rodgers. They know Rodgers really doesn't have much leverage either, but you still have to wait on him to make the decision. So could they say, yeah, we're moving on, and then Rodgers is screwed? Sure, but I don't think that's likely with the options that are out there. If I am the Steelers, I'm trying to go get Shador Sanders. If I can't get him, then I know I have Rodgers in the back pocket. So the Steelers must move on from Rodgers. If he doesn't give them an answer by draft day, I'm going to go overreaction there, because they could always end up divorcing him after draft day.
The Dolphins and
I guess it wouldn't be a divorce. It'd be like having your wedding and then just leaving Rodgers at the altar on the wedding day. Yeah.
The Dolphins and Jalen Ramsey have agreed to explore trade options for the three-time All-Pro corner. Miami sent a third-round pick to the Rams in 2023 to land Ramsey, and are reportedly looking to unload the 30-year-old seven-time Pro Bowler before the draft. Overreaction or proper reaction, you would trade a third-round pick for Ramsey right now?
So you'd have to give up basically the same that it cost to go get him when the Dolphins ended up getting him. I would say that's an overreaction. Now, he has a few years left in the contract. I don't know how that's going to age with him not being a free agent again until 2029. So this is probably his final deal. Now, they could always alter it and things like that. I don't feel inclined to give a player who's now getting up there in age at that position a third-round pick for him. So I would go overreaction there. I wouldn't give up a third-round pick.
Tyler Warren is a lock to go in the first round and could go as early as 7 to the Jets. But the Penn State star made a surprising decision. While 17 players accepted invitations to Green Bay for the draft, Warren chose to decline and stay home with his friends and family. Overreaction or proper reaction, you believe Tyler Warren will be a better NFL tight end than Brock Bowers?
Well, let me ask you this question first. So, Stu, if you knew you were going in the first round of the draft, like foregone conclusion, you're going in the top 15 picks of the draft that Tyler Warren will, would you want to do something with your friends and family, or would you rather go to the draft and have that moment where you walk out on the stage, even if you can only bring like 6 or 7 family members?
I think I would want the moment with Goodell on the stage.
Samter, what would you do?
Yeah, I would have like my close friends and family there with me in the green room so I can have the best of both worlds. So if I knew I was a lock for like top 15, but if I was like in that 20 to 40 range.
You could drop out of the first round?
Yeah, I'm not taking that chance of having cameras on me, especially if I'm a high-profile figure.
I could see myself being at a nice Italian restaurant with, like, 50 people and doing a party. But I would probably rather want the moment walking on the podium, because it's the last time that you'll probably really want to shake hands with Roger Goodell, if I'm being honest. So I think that could actually be more fun. So I would say, you know what, we'll have a party afterwards with friends and family, like when I get back into town. And, you know, you invite like the 5 or 6 family members that you can to the draft. You know, how many passes you end up getting. And I think I'd still rather be there. But I believe that Tyler Warren will be a better NFL tight end than Brock Bowers. That's the question. I'm going to go a slight overreaction. Brock Bowers also had one of the greatest rookie seasons we've ever seen in the history of the sport this past year at tight end. I think Tyler Warren's going to be a stud. Brock Bowers is more successful in college and then also had this unbelievable rookie season. So I think Brock Bowers is better, but slightly better, because I think the world of Tyler Warren. So I will go overreaction there.
There are 3 quarterbacks expected to go in the first round, including Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and Jackson Dart. However,
are we in that category now where we're expecting Jackson Dart to go in the first round still?
I think so.
Samter, you as well?
Yeah, I think it's starting to get to that point.
Okay.
But I guess we'll see. However, there are quarterbacks like Jalen Milroe, Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCord, Tyler Shuck, and Will Howard, who all could hear their names in the first 3 rounds as well. Well, this week, Will Howard joined ESPN's Hey Rookie in the Buckeye National Championship. The national champion.
He lost to Michigan, by the way. He did win a national championship, but he did lose to Michigan this year.
Yeah, he made a pretty bold claim.
What makes you feel like we should draft you? Why Will Howard?
I love you asked that, man. I feel like my whole career, I've been overlooked. I didn't have an offer from Pitt. I didn't have an offer from Syracuse. I didn't have an offer from Boston College, Ooh. Penn State, Duke, Carolina. None of those schools offered me. I was trying for years. And I went to Kansas State and I said, I want to prove those people wrong. I hope Penn State looks back and say, damn, we've missed out on Will Howard. You know, when I get to the NFL, I don't want you guys to miss out on me, because every single team that picks a quarterback in front of me, I'm going to make it my mission to make sure that they regret not picking me.
Love the passion, the enthusiasm.
Draft me.
Yes. There you go.
Draft me or you'll regret it.
All right, so overreaction.
He even stuttered there at the end. He was hanging out with Stu maybe on a Friday night. Slurring those words at the end. Did an incredible job, just couldn't land the finish.
Now he couldn't. Overreaction or proper reaction? Will Howard is the most underrated quarterback in the draft.
No, I think he's properly rated. Like, he had a good college career, obviously. He was good at Kansas State, underappreciated at Kansas State. At Ohio State, he was horrible up against Michigan after having a solid season. And in the national championship game, when the game was slipping away, he made a huge throw to Jeremiah Smith down the sideline on 3rd and 11. I love the aggressiveness. So I wouldn't say he is the most underrated quarterback in this draft class. I think you could make the case for Dylan Gabriel being completely underrated. We're not even talking about this guy going the first 3-4 rounds now. But I don't expect Will Howard to be a consistent NFL starter, so I'm going to go overreaction on that one.
Since being drafted 5th overall in 2022, Kayvon Thibodeaux has had an up-and-down career with the Giants, getting 11.5 sacks in 2023, sandwiched between 2 seasons of under 6 sacks. Now, Fox Sports NFL writer Ralph Valchiano says that the Giants are primed to land Abdul Carter at number 3, and they could move Thibodeaux for, quote, multiple premium draft picks, end of quote. Overreaction or proper reaction, Thibodeaux would fetch at least a first-round pick in a trade.
God, no. A first-round pick? For a guy that has been good, solid, but has been inconsistent? I can't see a first-round pick, especially when he has a contract upcoming, being the return for Kayvon Thibodeaux. I can't see that. So I'll go overreaction there. I think I'm overreactioning all these so far. 5 overreactions. Let's see what the next 2 are.
So Travis Hunter is considered Colorado's greatest player ever, becoming just the 2nd Buffalo to win the Heisman after Rashawn Salaam in 1994. Now the school announced that they will retire Hunter's jersey along with Shedeur Sanders' jersey as well. Some are upset because...
Pat Boyle?
Yeah, like Pat are upset
that
because...
That loser overnight host. Congratulations, Pat. We're just teasing.
Because former quarterback Cordell Stewart doesn't have his jersey retired. overreaction or proper reaction, you're okay with Colorado retiring Shador's jersey.
I did reach out to Cordell Stewart today. Did not hear back from him, but I did do my due diligence, and I wanted to come on the show and talk about this. Personally, I don't give a rat's ass about it, but I know that listeners care about it. I have zero issue with Colorado saying we're retiring Travis Hunter or Shador Sanders' number right now. That program was irrelevant 2 years ago. Those two players changed that program. I know they've had other success, but years and years and years and years ago, I have no problem with Coach Prime using this momentum right now and jumping on it 1,000 times and giving the ultimate honor for what Colorado could give to Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. So you're okay with Colorado retiring Shador's jersey? Absolutely. That's a proper reaction.
All right, last
one. I'm not a hot take artist. I'm not going to freak out and have fake outrage about this stuff like some others would. Come on. Like, is anyone really fired up and annoyed about this? It's like the whole Braves issue last night. Like, are people actually that upset with the reporter, the field-level reporter, for asking for a number to a girl? Like, what are we doing? People, one way, I don't get how anyone could lose their mind over Shador Sanders getting a jersey retired or what happened in Atlanta, if I'm just being honest. But anyway, do you have that audio, by the way, of the Braves reporter? Like, it was weird. Don't get me wrong. But people just take this way too seriously. Like, learn how to laugh a little bit. Go ahead.
We're having a lot of fun up here up the Corona rooftop. Who do we got here? What's your name?
My name's Lauren.
Lauren's, all right.
And I'm Kayla.
Kayla, and you guys hang out at the rooftop lounge often?
Once a year I come out to visit.
Okay, well, we timed it pretty well. All right, good. How are you guys feeling about root for the Braves today?
Oof, I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
What about you? Are you a Braves fan now?
Not quite.
All right, I'm gonna go to work up here, guys. Good luck the rest of the way.
Okay, Wiley. You got four innings to get the numbers.
Come on.
Get us some more Braves fans.
All right, so they want me to get your number.
They want you to get my number.
I'm dead serious. They're saying in my ear right now, she didn't believe me because she thinks you guys are not making this up. Even if you guys weren't, I might use that in the future. That's actually a pretty good move.
This is unbelievable.
So the best part of this right now is that Wiley could totally be faking it. This might be the new move. Okay. Just walk around with a FanDuel microphone and an earpiece in and convince fans that they're actually on TV.
I should have thought of this years ago.
I am speechless.
I got the number. We're good.
It's like a little bit weird, but what is everyone freaking out about? Like, we could all have a little sense of humor. Like, I don't understand what the original idea of the segment was, but so what? I have no issue with this. And I see people saying, oh, if a girl did that, it'd be a huge deal. If a girl sideline reporter walked up to me and I was sitting at a stadium and was like, oh, can I get your number? We're freaking out about that? We're slamming her? Like, what the heck are we talking about? Everyone's got to settle down here. People get way too serious when it comes to journalism and sports. It's a sideline reporter, a field-level reporter. Most of the things they say are dopey and stupid, and it's just for entertainment. All right? Like, you're not, like, writing for the Wall Street Journal or whatever. Give me a break, people losing their minds over that. Oh, my God. I see people, it sets the industry back years. No, it doesn't. Oh, my God. We should be thankful that we even have the field-level reporter now. It seems like they eliminate one each and every week now in this industry. So we're going to lose our minds over that? Come on. What are we doing? And I'll be fair here, because people make this a guy issue. When the reporter, or I think was a student reporter, was covering Florida and people were roasting her because she was celebrating their team winning a championship. I guess she's a student reporter and she was recording herself and the team on the court. Like, who gives a rat's ass about that either? I had no issue with any of that. None. A little awkward, but like, come on. What's the big deal here? But people are freaking out. All right, final overreaction, proper reaction question going back to football.
All right, so as of right now, Kirk Cousins is still the Falcons' backup quarterback, but there's still a chance that he gets moved before the draft. The Browns are the most likely destination, but the Steelers could also swoop in if Rodgers decides to retire. Overreaction or proper reaction, Kirk Cousins will be dealt before the draft.
Before the draft, no. After the draft, possibility. So before the draft, I will go overreaction on that one. By the way, maybe I should do that. Should I just walk around with the FanDuel microphone in the city and just go up to girls and be like, hey, can I get your number? You know, I was once on a date. This was 5 years ago, maybe. And it was in New York City at an Italian restaurant. And this kid came up to me. You know, it was probably like 22, 23, something like that. Probably close in age, honestly, at the time. When I say kid, I always find that weird when younger people say kid. So I have to call myself out on that. And he goes, hey, like, as I'm on a date, I listened to you. Can I get a photo with you? And I was like, yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I took the photo and, you know, sat back down. And the girl that I was on the date with, she goes, oh, what? Is that one of your buddies? And I go, no, but that's a pretty good idea for future dates. And it was just some random person that happened to be a listener and recognized me. So maybe now I'll just use a FanDuel microphone and walk around. Hey, what's your number?
You throw me a couple bucks, I'll come walk up to you and be like, hey, Zach, the Zach Gelb?
Only a couple bucks? Who are you, Nico Iamaliava? Like, no, you're worth a little bit. I need to get more than just a couple bucks. You could be the reverse of Nico Iamaliava. You know, he thought he was going to get too much money. You, not going to get enough money there. Like, what are we doing there? You could have put a dent or a hole in my pocket. And no doubt about that.
All right, it is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. Oh, jeez. I'm sure someone would clip that and be like, oh, look at this despicable guy, Zach Gelb, defending this reporter that I've never even heard of before he did this last night. Come on, what are we doing?
Coming on back, we're talking Aaron Rodgers, talking Travis Hunter next. It is the Zach Gelb Show. Alrighty, this NFL draft preview is sponsored by Ego, tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes. For any outdoor challenge, count on Ego, tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego, power beyond belief. And according to multiple reports, Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders will host a final private workout on Thursday with the New York Giants, who pick third in the draft. Stu, we have been kind of back and forth on this. And I think we're in agreement here where it's been, if I'm a team like Cleveland or if I'm a team like the Giants, I would take Shedeur Sanders,
yeah.
But we think that both are going to pass on him at 2 and 3, correct?
Yeah, I'd add the Raiders into that mix as well.
Mm-hmm.
Should take him, but won't take him.
So the Giants now having this private workout on Thursday, a week before the draft, does that change that opinion a little bit with the Giants maybe taking Shedeur at 3? Because I'm still believing fully that the Browns are going to take Travis Hunter at 2. The Giants now, and this is such an obnoxious topic because how many times I have flip-flopped on people on this, just based off what's being said, I feel like I'm Rory McIlroy right now, where it's like, okay, I'm about to win something, then I'm going to lose something. I'm about to win something, then I'm going to lose something. About to win, then lose. That's what I feel like with the Giants at 3rd overall pick. It's either going to be, I would imagine, Abdul Carter or Shedeur Sanders, but them having this meeting 7 days before the draft, it almost makes it seem as if the Giants don't even know what the heck they're doing right now.
So I don't think this changes 3. I think this is more if they can trade back up and get him at a later point, because they've also like brought in some other quarterbacks. So I think this is their way of saying, okay, maybe we think he's falling, so let's do our due diligence and maybe end up with him and Abdul Carter.
With how many times they've seen him and met with him, how do you not have a read at this point on him? That's the tricky part to me. So if I'm doing a pie chart right now, out of 100%, Stu, let's say it's number one Cam Ward to Tennessee, and then number two it's Travis Hunter to Cleveland. You're the guy right now, you would say, if I put a gun to your head, it's Abdul Carter at 3, right?
Yes.
What's the percentage, though? If it's Abdul Carter or Shedeur Sanders, what's the percentage that it is Abdul Carter?
I'd say 85, Abdul Carter.
High.
Yeah.
Santer, what's your number?
98.
Really?
I think there's 0% chance that the Giants take Shedeur 3.
Well, wait. You said 98.
Fine. There's a virtual 0% chance. I think the Giants are more likely to take, maybe not Will Campbell, but they're.
No.
I don't see any way they're taking Shedeur Sanders 3.
I kind of think there's a chance. I'm going to go 65 that it's Abdul Carter. 65% that it's Abdul Carter, and then 35% that it's Shedeur Sanders. That's 100, right? Temple math right there. Oh, by the way, I got a nice package to my apartment yesterday. Very nice package. I have to thank the folks at my alma mater, Temple University. I couldn't go to the award ceremony for the 30 Under 30 award that I won, getting recognized by my alma mater, because I had to work. Right? That's a hard hat guy. I couldn't go to my own award ceremony because I had to be at the Final Four. Right, doing the shows for our network and also hosting the NABC luncheon and all that stuff. So they sent me a very nice note, a very nice pamphlet from the event, very good picture of me, by the way, with a nice little write-up. And I have the trophy. I almost didn't open it, and I was going to open it here. But then I wondered if like people would actually care about me opening up a trophy for myself on the air. I thought that would be a little bit douchey. So I ended up just making sure that I opened up the trophy in private. I FaceTimed some of my family and opened it up with everyone to then go watch it. So that's what I ended up doing. But yeah, I'm at 65% that it's going to be Abdul Carter with the third overall pick. So if this is the case, you look at Carolina potentially, right? Then wouldn't Carolina be the team? Because, Stu, if we're sitting here at 9 with the Saints, do you think the Saints, even though what Santer kind of threw out there, the way that McShay so eloquently explained it, why they could be a better fit for Dart, I still have a tough time seeing Dart be the 9th overall pick of the draft to the Saints, even if it is maybe a better fit, which I just disagree with. Shador's the better player. Find a way to make him fit in your offense if you're going to take the lesser player here in Jackson Dart. Would you then believe if you're the Giants or the Browns, you'd have to trade up to 8 in order to get Shador? Do you think there's a chance that Shador could fall past 9 with the New Orleans Saints?
I think he might fall past 9.
Wow.
I think this could be somewhere in the teens where they trade up to.
Okay, so let's do this. And what would you think the Saints do at 9?
That's a good question. I don't know. I still think they do take Shador there, that they would just take him, but...
But let's play in this world where Shador falls past 9. So let's say he falls past 9. Let's say McShay's right. They go Jackson Dart. So then we're sitting there, and you have the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants who have the first and second pick in the second round. So 33 and 34, respectively, Browns and Giants. So who's the team that makes the move? Like, I think the Bears, the Niners, the Cowboys, the Dolphins, the Colts, the Falcons, the Cardinals, the Bengals, the Seahawks, the Bucks, the Broncos, those are the teams before you get the Steelers at 21. Could you imagine if that's how the Steelers get another first-round quarterback? Now, it didn't work with Kenny Pickett, but they just sat there and waited, and Kenny Pickett fell to him. Now, I don't think Shador is going to fall to 21, but then you get a little bidding war, which makes it more attractive, where the Steelers maybe try to move up, and then you get the Giants and the Browns trying to move back up to the first round as well. I would think the Panthers is the first spot that you circle, which is a big trade spot. If you're a team like the Steelers, if you're a team like the Browns or the Giants are trading up to jump over the Saints. But how about this, Stu? I just thought about this now. Could the Saints potentially, if they hear that maybe teams are trying to jump up to 8 to get Shador, and let's say they really want Shador, could the Saints maybe call up your Raiders? Or could the Saints maybe call up the Jets? And you fall back a few spots, the Raiders would go from 6 to 9, the Jets would go from 7 to 9, and you get some future draft capital where the Saints maybe feel compelled that they have to go move up in this draft. I think that's, we haven't talked about that yet. I think that's on the table.
I think that's interesting as well. I could see that as well, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the latest on Shador Sanders. Really don't have an effing clue where he's going to go. And then when it comes to Travis Hunter, Sam, do you sent me this story? So he said this, that it was asked like if a team said you have to do one or the other, wide receiver or defensive back, that he would rather stop playing football?
It was an interview with CBS Sports.
No.
Very interesting comments.
Travis is allowed to talk to CBS now, being a Colorado Buffalo?
I guess that might be the case. But yeah. Here's what he said. It's never playing football again because I've been doing it my whole life and I love being on the football field. I feel like I can dominate on each side of the ball, so I really enjoy doing it.
Let me ask a simple question here that is obviously not simple. He did it at such an elite level in college. Won a Heisman Trophy, right? Why are we just so stuck in this way that he can't? People are so ready to dismiss that he cannot do that in the NFL. I think if you draft him, that's the allure of drafting Travis Hunter, is you want to see how long he could go at this playing both ways. And eventually maybe there's a time like what will inevitably happen with Shohei Ohtani, right? Where you look at Shohei Ohtani, eventually he's going to have to give up one or the other or reduce the role. And we haven't seen him pitch again, but I'm sure that's going to happen at some point this year. You know, maybe he ends up becoming a closer, and I know it's a different mentality and stuff like that, or reliever or something like that. But he's been elite at the plate. He's been awesome on the mound. And I think you keep on squeezing that out as long as you can, and then eventually maybe one day you got to pick one or the other. But how teams are going to use him, and it changes team by team. I think whoever drafts him, they're going to be open to the idea of him playing both ways. but it's which one do they put more stock in? Like, do you give him more reps at defensive back or wide receiver? I do think it's easier to give him more reps at defensive back and then have like 15 plays a game for him at wide receiver, or using him however you want to use him on the offensive side of the ball. But this idea that like you would just outright dismiss potentially playing him at all both ways to start, then like I don't think he would actually go to that extreme. Like, let's say if he got drafted by Cleveland and they go, oh, we just want you to be a defensive back, he may be upset with it, but I don't think he's then going to retire and skip out on all the potential money that he could earn. But I don't think you would take him that early if you weren't open to at least seeing early on in his career, at least on his rookie contract, not saying a full go, but have him playing on both sides of the ball. So that's where I'm at with that one. And also this Aaron Rodgers stuff. So the story came out that he pitched the Minnesota Vikings on a one-year run. He'll mentor J.J. McCarthy, and then he would hand the baton over to J.J. McCarthy. How desperate is Aaron Rodgers? He doesn't want to go to the Steelers. He didn't want to go to the Giants. He now knows it's either probably the Steelers or nothing, and he desperately wants to be basically Brett Favre, where you go from the Packers to the Jets to the Vikings. And, hey, I understand why he would want to play for the Minnesota Vikings. Go up against the Packers, who he has resentment towards, which is ridiculous now at this stage of his career. You also get to play in a dome. You have Justin Jefferson. You have Jordan Addison. You have TJ Hockenson. You know, and you have Kevin O'Connell. Like, I get why you would want to do that. But, like, I understand why the Vikings told him no. But at this rate, it's actually, like, embarrassing for Rodgers. This stuff still keeps on getting out there, and it's coming from the Rodgers camp, I guarantee you, or it's coming from Rodgers himself. But he still wants the public pressure. He thinks he could get Minnesota, if he puts this out there, to reverse their idea of thinking Aaron Rodgers not as attractive as he once was. The juice is no longer worth the squeeze with Aaron Rodgers. So yeah, I'd much rather go with J.J. McCarthy. Now, I understand why he pitched the Vikings, but this is getting humiliating for Aaron Rodgers. It's almost like he feels like he's forced to having being played for the Steelers, and he doesn't want to do so. Isn't that going to be awkward? Now, the Steelers really have nothing else to rest on. I think Mason Rudolph. But I think this would be the most fascinating thing if the Steelers get Shedeur Sanders, because Shador's NFL ready. Say what you want, he's NFL ready. And if you're drafting Shedeur Sanders in the first round, I wouldn't then bring in Aaron Rodgers. And then what does Aaron Rodgers do? The Giants already made a move, and I don't think the Vikings are going to go back on their word. So this gets to a rate. You know, maybe if he has to crawl to Minnesota and says, I'll take the league minimum. But also, do we trust Aaron Rodgers being this great mentor? You know, I think he got a solid relationship with Jordan Love, but I can't trust anything Aaron Rodgers says. And who wouldn't say if they lose in the NFC Championship game like Favre did, if he wouldn't want to run it back a year after that? And you're going to delay J.J. McCarthy another year? You had a plan in Minnesota. Stick to the plan. If this was Aaron Rodgers 3 years ago, I'm in. Aaron Rodgers now? No, thank you. No, thank you whatsoever. I'm continuing to go with J.J. McCarthy.
You know, to be honest, if I'm the Vikings, I consider it. Worst case scenario...
And you hate Rodgers.
I do, but worst case scenario, if J.J. McCarthy is healthy, his knee looks good, he's ready to go, and he's...
You think Rodgers is going to go along with that?
He's not going to have a choice. He comes in there...
But he'll be a malcontent in that locker room. Why do we want to deal with that distraction?
Then you cut him. You sign him to a contract that's fairly team-friendly because
he's
fairly
desperate. If you're signing
him,
you're signing with the intent to start him. That's the way that I would interpret it.
Sure, but just like with, I don't know, Matt Flynn and the Seahawks and the Steelers with Justin Fields and Russ Wilson, like, things change, right? Someone comes along and he plays better. You sign Aaron Rodgers to a team-friendly deal.
Yeah, none of those guys are Aaron Rodgers.
As a backup plan in case J.J. McCarthy's knee isn't fully right, in case he's just not quite ready yet, you have this option for a team that's ready to win now. And if it doesn't work out, if J.J. McCarthy is like, you know, I'm good, and you watch him play, and training camp comes around, he's like dominating. All right, Aaron, kick to the curb. You're done.
By the way, I'm laughing not at what you were just saying, even though it could be a little bit funny. But
you're
usually,
funny.
Usually the chat, when I do math, they right away say Temple math. So when Samter did the 98% and then said there's no chance that, that Shedeur Sanders gets drafted by the Giants at 3, Psych Manter then immediately chimed in. He said BU math. By the way, what happened to your BU hockey team? You were peacocking around here right before the weekend with the Bobby Orr signature on your BU hockey jersey. And what happened to them?
I don't know what you're talking about. I've been Western Michigan Broncos all my life.
Dad attended BU for 2 years. Then he was like the first Jew to ever go to Villanova. But he was watching that hockey game. He was into BU. So you guys could come together and commiserate on the misery here.
Yeah, no thanks. Bob Gelb is not my cup of tea.
Oh wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Bob Gelb do not get along.
I don't think you want to get into a war with Bob Gelb. He will just step on you.
It all started when I took his fan off his desk without telling him.
I guess we'll be looking for a new producer soon as well, shortly.
No, he's awesome. He is a cool dude.
Uh-oh. You better hope he's not listening. He takes his stuff really personally.
No, I'm just upset about the whole lasagna and Thanksgiving thing. I don't blame you. I blame the fam.
He'll start tweeting you. If he starts tweeting you've lost. Let me tell you. He has a Yelp page. And I said to him, could you actually leave a positive Yelp review? You only do negative Yelp reviews, and he will go after some of these places if he is a unsatisfied customer. Now, Samter poking the bear? Uh-oh. I can't help you. I've tried to help you for a while. I cannot help you if you poke the Bob Gelb bear. You poke the bull, you'll get the horns. Those horns are nasty when it comes to Bob Gelb. He could be petty. All right, stand by with the latest update. Here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, he's Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. I just saw something on social media before we get to a news brief. Let's guess here. Stephen Jones, he talked to the media. There was a conversation about the Cowboys trading in the draft. Do you think he said it's more likely that the Cowboys trade up or trade down? What would your first guess be, Samter?
Down.
Stu?
I agree with Samter. Down.
Isn't it amazing how we just always now assume the worst with the Cowboys? It's from Pro Football Talk. Stephen Jones, Cowboys more likely to move down than up in the first round. Yeah, they've been moving more down than up for the last 25 years. Jeez. Remember this was like we're going to be all in. That was a year ago. Now we're going to be selectively aggressive. The Cowboys haven't been aggressive at all. They're selecting not to be aggressive. This is just a mess.
Selectively non-aggressive. But honestly, like for most teams, I would prefer my team to trade down. It's very rare that I want my team to give up a haul
really?
To move up. Yeah, unless there's like a guy that you really, really want.
I want my team to move up. Go get the player. Go get the elite player. Come on.
All right, so you're the Patriots at 4. You want them to move up or down right now?
Up? I want Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
So you'd give up a haul to move up one or two picks?
I don't think you have to give up a haul.
To get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, you're going to have to convince the Giants or the...
Well, we were talking about maybe the... Who was it? It was a report from Connor Hughes that if there had to be a trade with the Giants, to get to Tennessee for the number one overall pick, that it was just swapping 1 and 3 and then giving up like two threes. Yeah, if that's a haul, sure. I'm good to... If I get Abdul Carter and the Browns, they only make me just swap a 2 and a 4 and then give up 2 threes, I would do that. Or a future second, sure. Yeah, I want the player.
I think it's going to be more than that. If Abdul, I think the Browns and the Giants, I think the top three of Cam, Abdul, and Hunter are like the three, like the top three.
We don't even know if Abdul's definitely going 3 or not. Right, there's still a chance of Shador.
Right, but I think, I guess.
There's still a chance.
Sure. But at the
you
end
said
of the day,
2%
I think,
chance. That's a chance.
I guess, yeah. And, I have a chance to date, Alexander Daddario, one of these days, who knows? Come on, let's be honest here.
Do you know who Alexander Daddario is, Stu?
I don't think I do.
I don't either.
You don't know Alexander Daddario?
Let me see. Oh, yes, I do know who she is. You have a 0.5% chance of dating her.
Right, exactly. So it's not zero, but I mean, yeah. It's not going to happen.
I'm giving you some hope. Build yourself up.
I got no hope.
Shoot for the stars. You have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, but I mean, not for that.
You never know.
Alexander Daddario, she's like...
Walk around with the FanDuel mic. Maybe there's a chance you get her number.
She's a top five. She's something.
All righty. We're not going to have time to get to news brief today, so let me just play two audio clips. Here is Dan Morgan, the Panthers GM. Did the Derek Carr news impact the trade calls at 8 so far?
When the Saints news came out Friday, did that kind of cause a little uptick in traffic on your phone? I mean, were more people interested in talking once that's out there?
No, I don't think yet. I think it's still a little early for that. I think maybe down the line I'll expect it a little more, but, right now things are quiet.
Do you get that same vibe that it might be tough to find a trade-up partner?
I always look at it like it only takes one team to fall in love with a player, a team could fall in love with a player and decide they want to trade up with us and go get their guy. So we'll be waiting if somebody wants to come up.
Yeah, so open for business. That's pretty much what he said. If you want to jump the Saints, feel free to go get Shador. Finally, here's Peter Schrager on Get Up with ESPN on Shador visiting the Giants on Thursday.
There's something to this. Look, they have already sent 13 different people, Greeny, to the pro day at Colorado, meaning there's a GM, obviously, but a coaching staff and the front office personnel. They went to many of his games in person. Joe Shane attended a Colorado practice in person. And I could tell you that this private workout is not just for show. They want to do the full due diligence on Shedeur Sanders. Is he possibly the third overall pick where they're sitting at? Maybe. Does this also mean they can maybe trade back into the first round if they take his teammate Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter with the third overall pick? I would say that's more likely. I'll mention this. They brought him in for a private workout and his top 30 visit. The Giants took him out to dinner, and he had that experience also. They are getting to know Shedeur Sanders far more than they are getting to know a lot of other prospects in this draft, and I don't take it lightly. When this guy is wearing cleats that have a Giants logo at the bowl game all the way back in January. So there is something to this. The Giants are not wasting their time 9 days from the draft going and flying out to Boulder, Colorado.
And let me be clear, that that I let out, that noise, that was on the information that Peter Schrager had about Shedeur Sanders and the Giants cleats. It wasn't that I'm looking at Alexandre Daddario's photos right now on Google. Had nothing to do with that. That was about the cleats with Shedeur Sanders and the Giants, just to be clear.
I got a 0.5%
wink,
chance.
Wink. It was a terrible wink by me. That was brutal. All righty. Fun show today. Stu Samter, thank you. Be back tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Big thanks to Pat Boyle. Congratulations to him once again for joining us today. New overnight host here at the network from 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern time. All righty. Talk tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.